702
on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za.
The 702 app.
And on DStv channel 856.
22 minutes ago, before we get to 8 o'clock, Gershwell Brooks in for Rifilo Mpakanyane. And up next, in our sustainability feature, we're talking about the business of forestry this tourism month. And Chris De Beer, SAFCOAL's tourism manager, joins us on the line. That is, of course, the South African Forestry Company Limited. Good morning to you, Chris. And I never thought that I'd see the direct or a connection between, say, forestry and tourism.
Morning, Nestle. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to sort of like make people aware of the connection between tourism and forestry. To be honest, I wouldn't have thought about that a few years ago either, until I got involved with forestry. And exciting, something different, something South African public are not quite aware of yet, and one of the reasons we are with you on the show.
No, great stuff. Because I was saying early on, you know, if you take a nice, one of those nice scenic drives up to Mpumalanga, for example, and, you know, you see the various forests, as you're driving by and it looks stunning, you know, you realize that a lot of those forests are set up for our paper needs, our furniture needs. It's you go back, you do a bit of research, you understand it is this long-term business. You know, you plant your seedlings or your seeds today for to harvest them, say 30 years from now. It's a generational thing almost. And then I guess that's what most people know about forestry. So let's link it back to tourism.
Yeah, I think in essence, I mean, so we sort of sometimes bypass things in life and not really observing or understanding. And it's acceptance. You go to Buco, you purchase your wood or let someone buy it for you while you are actually having a house built. And unknown to you, a few years ago, you did drive past a specific trees. So in essence, the tourism related to that creates more of awareness in some other means. We are as South Africans, we love the outdoors. We've got a brilliant country, and we've got so much diversity all over the place. And with our forests, we create that, and it's part and partial of our lives for quite a few years. Unbeknown, again, we get to people, even people that frequented it, then realize that there's a correlation between that and their actual livelihoods. So, our main focus is actually to create that awareness for people to understand, you know, what we bring to the people, to the environment, to everybody's future is that the uniqueness of us not interfering with our natural forests, but also providing wood and so forth that's sustainable and which they can use for their own daily lives, but also come and enjoy it through a different spectrum.
I mean, that's one thing that I really appreciate about the South African setup is that, I mean, if you look globally, you have so many countries with a beautiful natural heritage from a forest perspective, whether it be tropical or, those pine forests or whatever the case may be. But a lot of those, unfortunately, are being chopped down at an exponential rate. And here we, in South Africa, we have an approach whereby I own a piece of land, I plant it, it gets it gets harvested and then used, and then we replant and so on and so forth. And I think if you pay close attention, especially that Mpumalanga example that I used, you see almost generations of patches of trees and forests, so that if this patch goes, the next patch is there for the next couple of years. And that helps with not just sustainability, but also with the environment, doesn't it?
Exactly. I mean, if you actually look at pine forests as well, I mean, talking about down for Mkadu down, White and Gourmet and Freya, where we're involved with, those areas were generally not areas that had natural forest or most of the areas. Natural forests occur in certain climate areas, whereas these forests, which is basically exotics per se, creates that... like I say, extra in a sense of providing to the environment. We're getting involved in the sense of people coming to natural forests as in Amazon, where they cut down trees, as you say, exponential rate, where, we literally plant, replant, and so on, and continue to bring something to the environment as a whole as well. Our natural heritage, our natural heritage sites for that matter, falls within those regions and so on. And that's how we get people to basically come and enjoy it in the outdoors, experiencing it, and create awareness through forestry and tourism.
And I guess as South Africans, you know, when we do the what I think we commonly refer to now as the short left, you know, I'm taking the family, I don't know, during June holidays or December holidays out on an outing. There's two types of things. We'll get into the car, we'll drive out to wherever, say down to the coast, alternatively up to the bush. And we'll pass things along the way incidentally or alternatively that might be the destination. So how, you know, do I then turn a forestry, you know, site into either an incidental on the way to tourism site, alternatively, maybe the very destination that we're going to?
Yeah, one of the biggest destinations in South Africa, bar Cape Town and the Kaizerian coast, is obviously Kruger National Park, which I can say it's world renowned, attracts a lot of international and local visitors. And by arriving to get there, you have to go through these forests, and most of those forests are ours. And then what we have is, and been through experience in my life, that a lot of package deals are now involving our forestry areas, the panorama views, the Divangeni, and Ranin and that areas. But those are all within those forests, and that creates awareness. We've got the top three hiking trails in South Africa, Fani Bota, Mahuba Kloof, and Pops Hoop, where people can basically experience that on foot, having that, how can I say, association in regards to tourism versus forestry. We walk through miles and miles of forests, and it's just different. You find people return on a yearly basis. And not just on the weekend, public holidays, but weekends, big breakaways for people to come to, especially South Africans, especially with COVID, preventing us from traveling internationally and so on. A lot of people now learning a bit more about our country, and specifically areas. I mean, Mpumalanga has got the most beautiful, can I say, natural heritage that we have in South Africa, and it's still been exploited by people in the sense of tourism. Exploited, this is a harsh word, but the fact of the matter is people being able to get there and never knew that it was there, because we always went to the sea, Cape Town and so forth. Now suddenly, yes, something different. And that's what people starting to realize and need. And you can see that in the growth in the sense of local tourism.
No, absolutely stunning. And, you know, that I guess it also gives then the potential of opening it up a bit further, where it's not just seeing it for its beauty, but also picking up a bit of an education, you know, coming to grips with an understanding, as you had pointed out, you know, not just going down to your neighborhood furniture store and buying that nice table, or picking up a ream of paper, you know, at whatever your supplier is. I know a lot of it gets recycled now, but sometimes, you know, a lot of it is still coming from these very forests that we're talking about. That there's an educational space there, and that the local communities themselves can benefit from that, you know, financially, and be part of this mainstream market.
Definitely. I mean, our key focus is the local people, underprivileged people, and so on, and bringing it and the realization of the value of forestry to the livelihoods through tourism as well. In a sense of, if you go to a lot of our sites, you can see there's people that are selling their arts and crafts at those sites, and it's something they would not have had if we didn't have that in place. Yeah, we know it's a creation from God and so on, but in essence, for us to look after it, to protect it, to ensure the safety of people, to create that additional part of the GDP in the sense of people who would not have had that through tourism. And that is the key focus, and the educational part, especially for schools. We've got areas where the actual schools come to and experience forestry in a different entity and understand. And that's how you develop people, young children from that age up to where we are currently, in the sense of saying, listen, but through forestry and so on, we are very environmental friendly in the sense of protecting our natural forests through having an exotic forest planted and so on, which actually add value as well to the environment. And getting that awareness through to children and growing a new generation of foresters and people understanding what life is about.
No, for sure. Who knows? Maybe I'll give you a call soon and try to get involved in forestry myself. You know, it's I think the only thing, and then it's one of those industries that if you don't get involved in it as soon as you possibly can, it takes years, literally. You know, to for that first harvest. But look, it was an absolute stunning conversation. Where do people find out more, Chris? Considering that we live online and we tend to do our research online before we go ahead and you know, make our decisions. Where can people go to find out a little more?
Well, obviously, I mean, on our website of www.stuffcalled.co.za, that is one, but also on Facebook, Instagram. Unfortunately, I do not know what's Instagram contact is, but you find that via Facebook. Just tap in Stuff Called, SAC, and then you'll see us. And the awareness is created through the social media pages.
Awesome stuff. All the best to you. Thank you for chatting to us this morning, Chris.
Thanks very much. Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Have a great one. That was tourism manager at South African Forestry Company Limited, or SAFCOL, Chris de Beer. I think that's an interesting one, linking forestry to tourism.